어 당 아주 런던 데마 가주거래 다 런던 그 된다 당 아주 가주거래 다 되네 당 아로도 신제 간데 지바 있나야 근데 셴말레 녜송르 가보요 말레스 근데 녜송 타게 근데 녜송 동엘 녜바 주네 근데 든룰로 야 사울데 어데 산제 그 주주 담부도 거들레스 말베
So we've been going over the text by the great master Atisha, the lamp for the path to enlightenment, and the explicit meaning that is contained in it. The true meaning of this text goes over the various types of sentient beings and their aptitudes or their affinities for different types of motivation. A being in who wishes to renounce the various types of suffering of the lower realms and wishes to achieve rebirth in future lives in the higher realms and does not have a scope that is beyond that, falls into the category of the first level of explanation that Buddha gave of types of beings who are Buddhists or who fall into the category of Buddhists.
What the Tanang of Laval Yoris, Yinaya, and May Lieutenant Kumatabaris, Mataba, Junior Meneo Maris, then the Kumatabanes with Shawandu, Joashama Mena Aborit, Yinaya, Joashama Yoris, Mabamar, Joashama Yoris, Dendutangendo, Nil Doris, and then as Dendul Droyina, Chibu Yoris, Nason Donang as Chibu Yomaris. Things of Sajigitan.
Okay. So at this moment we have the human basis. We have a human form which has so many different abilities. And at this moment it's in our very hands and we possess this. And because we possess this human basis, we also possess the mind of a human. And that mind is quite intelligent and has many abilities as well. So at this moment, in the palm of our hands, we have all of these special abilities because we have the human basis and the mind that it possesses. But this human basis disintegrates. It is impermanent. The nature of impermanence is momentary disintegration. So this will not last very long. This human form that we have taken on at this moment is brief and will not go on forever because its nature is impermanence. So if future and past lives didn't exist, then it wouldn't really matter what we did in this particular life. But the fact remains that there are future lives and there are past lives, and there is proof of the existence of these. So knowing this, we have to figure out what would be beneficial for us in our future lives. And there are only two places that we can end up within cyclic existence. And those two places are the higher realms and the lower realms. If we are able to be born into the higher realms of the gods and the humans and so forth, we will have happiness. But if we were born into the lower realms of the hell beings and the hungry ghosts and the animals, we will have to suffer. So it's necessary for us to figure out what the causal factors for that suffering are, and then it's necessary for us to abandon them if we do not wish to have to endure the suffering. So when we look very closely, we find out that misdeeds and non-virtues are the causal factors for suffering. So they are the causal factors for the lower realms of rebirth because they are plagued with suffering. So we need to then abandon the causal factors if we wish to be free from their results. So there are two different kinds of minds that can produce results. There are positive minds and there are negative minds, or bad minds, literally translated. So positive and negative minds. So a positive mind at its greatest level produces rebirths into the God's realm. And a positive mind at its medium level produces rebirth into the demigod's realm. And a positive mind at its smallest level produces rebirth into the human realms. Then when we move to the negative mind, that also produces results. And the greatest level of a negative mind produces rebirth into the hell realms. The more midland or medium level of a negative mind produces rebirth into the hungry earth realm. And the smaller level of a negative mind or a non-virtuous state of mind produces rebirth into the animal realm. So we can see that there are various, the two different types of minds have various types of potentials that they can produce. The chi ni, the donaga.
Tabana diba mago chuyo. Chugunon chibuma in a tutiris, nibuna tutiris, lessa tutiris, chubuna tutia shooters.
Lessa.
And then, woma tuba to shana of your words.
Lessa, lessa. So when we speak of non virtues and categorize them relative to the 10 non virtues, it's very good if we can abandon even one of them, or two of them, or three of them. You know, the best is if we can abandon all of the 10 non-virtues. But if we can't do that, then there is a way that we can confess in order to purify, or have acknowledgement of our downfalls in order to purify the negativities that they produce.
So when
a type of being looks at the suffering of the lower realms and wishes to abandon that, but also looks to the higher realms and sees that the gods and the humans also have to suffer, and recognizes that they have the suffering of birth, the suffering of aging, the suffering of sickness, and the suffering of death. So all six realms of cyclic existence have a pervasive kind of suffering. So when that type of being wishes to abandon all of the six realms of cyclic existence, even the higher realms, then he or she falls into the category of a being of medium capacity, and practices the teachings that are shared in common with beings of a medium capacity. So these teachings are the pathway to liberation. And the way that this type of practitioner achieves his or her liberation or nirvana is by abandoning the karma and afflictions which produce the negative types of rebirth. And through abandoning those karma and afflictions, he or she is able to produce nirvana or liberation, which is the abandonment of the necessity for rebirth into any of the six realms of cyclic existence, because he or she recognizes that all six realms of cyclic existence contain suffering.
Oje tatne khu dunge dunge dan nyomobal thage 다시 가르치고 왔으면 산지기 라바송 송가르스 라바 추진지 라바 띵엔지 라바 시라지 라바스 시라지 라바스는 가르스나 동해 도수 쪽 건너 되는 중앙에서나 레일 되는 중앙에서 레뇨몰라 되는 중앙에서 뇨모 덴질라 되는 중앙에서 최 단지 덴데 대마 마주보도 시라지 시라지 라바스 그래서 최 단지 대마 마주비 돈이도 비 시라 돈이를 고아차도 공부이나 안에 동해 그 자와 덴질 뇨는 그래서 덴질 뇨소나 덴질 그 대부 뇨몰 뇨는 그래 레일 뇨는 그래 동해 갈래 갈래 가네 Tabal dua jumaya yuaris, what the landen zong yuaris marba.
So this type of practitioner must rely on the truth of path. He or she must practice the three higher trainings in order to achieve the goal of nirvana or liberation. The three higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom. All of these three higher trainings are necessary for this type of practitioner to achieve nirvana because it's actions and so forth that create the afflictions. It's the actions and the afflictions and so forth that create the suffering of cyclic existence. And it's the grasping at true existence which creates the action and the affliction. So at the root of the suffering of cyclic existence, we can see it as the grasping at true existence or the grasping at true establishment. So it's necessary to have familiarization or meditation on the non-mistaken view that recognizes that phenomena are not truly established. They dependently originate, and because of this dependent origination, they are not inherently existent or truly established. So by meditating on this and familiarizing our minds with this, we can lessen the grasping at true existence. And when the grasping at true existence is lessened, then its effect is lessened. And when the grasping at true existence is abandoned completely, then all of its results are completely abandoned. So cyclic existence is abandoned completely once the grasping at true existence is completely abandoned. So in order to abandon this grasping, it's necessary for a practitioner to be involved with the three higher trainings. It's very similar to recognizing that a snake, it's very similar to recognizing that a rope in a dark room is not a snake, and having that wisdom to recognize that it is just a rope. Likewise, one can recognize that things, phenomena, are not truly established, do not truly exist in any way more than that rope exists as a snake. So we need to, that rope exists as a snake. So phenomena do not truly exist in the same way that a rope is not a snake.
That Tony the Shiva in a Tony let me be thinking the Tema Mena and Tony the Shech Tony to be sure of the Abu Gomaris.
Tony
let me be thinking the love of the Kitchuris. Tony let me ne Shamata Gunga Kitchuris.
So it's very important in order to have the realization of emptiness or to have a realization of the nature of reality to rely upon meditation or single-pointed concentration which uses emptiness as its object of observation. So it's necessary to rely upon the various levels of concentration and focus that single-pointed meditation or single-pointed concentration on emptiness itself or the nature of reality itself. So this is why the higher training in concentration is so crucial to achieving the goal. So, and then we also must couple that with the ethics or ethical behavior. If we have these three higher trainings, then we would be able to easily achieve the wisdom realizing emptiness, which can then abandon or eradicate the grasping at true existence, which is at the root or creation of cyclic existence or suffering in general. when we have various types of negativities within our mind or continuum, we have negativities such as attachment, aversion, jealousy, or pride, and so forth. It's very similar to having a dirty cloth, but a cloth itself can be cleaned. The stain can be taken out of a cloth, just like our minds can be cleaned of these various afflicted states. By relying on the three higher trainings, we can slowly clean away the dirt. We can slowly clean away the afflictions and so forth within our continuums, in the same way that we can clean the stain or dirt out of a cloth. So it's very similar to this example. When a small child begins his or her education, there's not a lot of understanding there. There is a lot of misknowing, is a literal translation, or ignorance. So there's a lot of misknowing. But then when they go through first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade, a large amount of the misknowing is eradicated, or the ignorance relative to various subjects is eradicated through the levels of school. When he or she studies them. And eventually, he or she will have the ability to become a great scholar, possibly. So we can see that ignorance can be eradicated in this example. And we can see very clearly that it is possible.
When
a practitioner recognizes that, yes, it is wonderful if I can attain liberation for myself alone, this is a great thing, but there are other sentient beings, and like myself, all other sentient beings wish to have happiness. And like myself, all other sentient beings wish to be free from suffering. The type of practitioner that recognizes this then wishes to find a way to bring all sentient beings to a state of happiness, which is free from suffering, and then recognizes that the only way that he or she can do that is by becoming a Buddha. So then he or she wishes to become a Buddha in order to free all sentient beings from the state of suffering. He or she wishes to reach the state of unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. This type of practitioner is called a practitioner of the great vehicle. And previously, one thing I forgot, the medium scope practitioner is the lesser vehicle, or the Hinayana, whereas this great scope practitioner, the great vehicle, or Mahayana, falls into the category of great vehicle, or Mahayana.
Mm-hmm.
The Shambi Rik Dang, Jambiyang Rik Ming Lagwa. So the two, when we speak of the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta, there are the two lineages passed down for the achievement of this mind that aspires to enlightenment. The lineage of the extensive deeds, which is the 7-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta, and the lineage of the profound view, which is the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice for achieving bodhicitta. The 7-point cause and effect practice for achieving bodhicitta has 6 steps and 1 result, which is the bodhicitta. The 6 steps are recognizing that all sentient beings are our mother, remembering their kindness, wishing to repay their kindness, love through the force of attraction, great compassion, and the extraordinary attitude. And those 6 produce the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. The second type of instruction passed through the profound view lineage is called equalizing and exchanging self and others. And at the core of that practice is the recognition of the downfalls of the self-cherishing attitude and the recognition of the excellent qualities of a mind that cherishes others, or an attitude that cherishes others. This is the equalizing and exchanging self, at the root of the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice. And these are the two instructions passed down for achieving the realization of the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. So when we first hear of these instructions, understanding them intellectually is quite easy. Quite easy to understand them. But if we don't go over them again and again and don't familiarize ourselves regularly with them, we will not produce any kind of realization into these topics. They will be intellectually understood but not realized. So it's necessary to think again and again and again over these things in order to realize them. It's very similar to a piece of paper and putting oil onto the paper. Very slowly the oil seeps into the paper, but once that oil is absorbed completely into that paper, it's there and it's very, very stable. Likewise, once we familiarize ourselves again and again with these instructions, our bodhicitta and our realization into these instructions will become very stable. And very stable or similar to the oil that has been absorbed into a piece of paper. So by relying on this again and again and constantly familiarizing ourselves with this, we accumulate a great amount of merit. And we accumulate a great amount of virtue. And by doing that, we will be able to be free from the lower realms in our future life anyway. So by relying on these practices, we will be able to achieve freedom from the lower realms as a byproduct of the practice. This thought that I would wish to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings, this aspiring mind, is actually the door to the Mahayana, Bodhicitta is the door to the Mahayana. Once one has this thought and has this realization, then he or she becomes a bodhisattva and becomes a Mahayanist. So it is said that the bodhicitta is the door to the Mahayana.
And the Karagurus, and then Tall Hawus, Tall Marbe, and then Oh, Shindu, Metis, and then Shindu Hawus, Shindu, Sisper,
bless him.
What's it Tall, Tashi, Tall Hawus, Marbe?
So, just reliance upon the mind that aspires to enlightenment is not enough to achieve the state of unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Just by having the wish to become a Buddha in order to free all sentient beings from suffering will not make that state automatically happen. There must be a method in order to achieve that. And one must practice the six perfections in order to achieve that result.
And tomorrow, passion table, love to the hand, love to kneel the words, longer than the man, do the hand, kneel the words.
So, when we speak of the means of achieving or method to achieving complete Buddhahood, there are the two vehicles, the perfection vehicle and the tantric vehicle, both being in the category of the great vehicle.
That passion table, love to the law. Then, to think you love a love you too, think as you love a love you too, share as you love a love you too, so you're going to be
so. In the perfection vehicle, there is a great reliance on the three highest higher trainings, and that is the highest higher training of ethics, the highest higher training in concentration, and highest higher training in wisdom. And translator's note, we went over previously why it's called highest higher training. If anyone wasn't here, they can ask others who were.
That tall log in and da, shiro log in and da, kante, and a nutri maybe shiro log would tall, nutri maybe, and a tall log would is. Tall nunju da, shiro nunju lana, devon nunju drungore, Sanji shed a yoyo marijibra.
Yanja Suranam.
Yeah.
Gangi sinna de Anjo Yapu Gumasun.
Tall the Kasagore. And
So, there are all different sorts of methods. But we must rely upon a real method if we want to achieve the goal. Because if we rely upon bad methods, we won't achieve the desired result. We would achieve something bad or negative if we rely on negative methods. So it's important for us to have non-mistaken method. It's important for us to have non-mistaken wisdom. It's important for us to have the real, true wisdom and the real, true method. That is unsullied.
Oje ta ta nyu da ta noa da ta ma noa an ka da ga da san da wa zu na an ne ja ye kan ba ha shang ha shang ha shang ji jong ba res an ne bo le nga zu sa yi ge zu la kan lu bin pa man ju ne da an ne chu ji chu sun
lu bin pa ma ju ne ma ma san ba ba
pa ma san ba ba pa ma san ba ba ji ki jin shi wa zu wa zu zu ga lo nyang du ne sa yi zu la kan cha de And then Lujan Jigan, then Kalaji Namazuris, and then Jagi Trabam with the Lujan Jigan over his. Then the Jai Trabaji Kevachavaris,
Hajan,
Kukevachane,
Lesser,
and the Tony the Kulubakos on his.
Lesser,
Tony Lubako, Kukevayuaris, Babako Laka Romanis. Then the Kutony de Sanlucia Madame Gonjava Tony is.
Lesser,
and then. Sans le cacae, madame, tant de gonja bade, vous vous en souvenez de votre santant waris, coût de chez de waris, couleur, sans j'ai le nom de la waris, et ne veux pas coucher de womaris.
then sanlo gugumare ki napo ki gapo
what did the kichadre to nunju what the sore dres
that's a
that one is again the kage san matan deja bandu san deja badal toni gumba so what there is that sis bar bajen to zungalo toni ma shege toni gumba shege zole te gus zu bar madu toni ab gon she sun na jimba ta chun zu ma zu mar je bta to suk ga mo ja re je
okay. So when we speak of positive and negative methods, or mistaken methods and non-mistaken methods, we can see historically the story of the Chinese abbot. He's called the Chinese abbot, or Hashan. And during Tibet, previous times in Tibet, two great masters, Padmasambhava and Chandrashita, had built various monasteries. There were monks who were studying and studying the great texts, and many Chinese monks and so forth. And this master named Hashan came, who was very much an erudite scholar, who had a vast understanding of scripture and the words in scripture, but had a mistaken view of emptiness and had the incorrect understanding of the nature of reality. And he accumulated a vast number of actual students, and it was his belief that the correct view of emptiness, and the way that one would achieve the correct view of emptiness, was by emptying the mind of thought altogether, was by not relying upon conceptuality at all. It was by trying to completely empty the mind of thought to the point when it was a blank state, to the point where there was absolutely nothingness in the mind, and that was thought to have been the realization of emptiness by the Chinese abbot, by Hashan. And he felt that whether one gets bit by a black dog or one gets bit by a white dog, the biting is the same. Likewise, if one has positive conceptual thought or one has negative conceptual thought, it's all conceptual thought, so it is an obstacle to being able to understand emptiness. So conceptual thought must be abandoned, and a blank slate state must be conceived or achieved. And once one understands the emptiness according to Hashan's view, it's not necessary, because of this nothingness state, to practice the six perfections. It's not necessary to practice generosity. It's not necessary to practice concentration, wisdom, or any of these other six perfections, because of the fact that the emptiness itself is just a blank state. So this wrong, mistaken view of emptiness was passed down by this master, Hashan, in Tibet.
Tony shares one of the Guayo Marjif Taku. Tony shares Tadula and the Jimba shooting to Zugalo Denziris, Pojaris. Ting Nabalis on the Anima Dimuri, Ting Cabalis on the Anima Dimuas, Chickabajik Sotas on Nazatang to us, Chenabu Sotan Nazatang to us. Sig Tabag Labadanga in Nazatangre, Chag Tabag Labadan,
the Andre Suranan.
Say Sero Gol, Golus, Jayoman, Dus.
Nasatangaris,
Sedan, Chag, Chibaris,
Ale, Ale, Yabudu, De Nama Andre Gumasun.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the belief of this master was that, it was others stated, well, what about this? The Buddha taught the six perfections. And he said, well, that was for those who didn't understand emptiness completely. And once you understand emptiness completely, it's not necessary to engage in those practices. So he then said, all generosity and the six perfections and so forth is grasping at true existence, because it is conceptual. And because there is grasping at true existence there, it is negative. So he gave all these examples. If one gets bit by a white dog or a black dog, then it's the same. There is a bite. If a black cloud or a white cloud covers the sun, there is still coverage of the sun. Didn't matter whether it was a white cloud or a black cloud. If someone is in jail and has iron handcuffs or has golden handcuffs, it doesn't matter. So Hashan stated that conceptual thought altogether was an abandonment, was an object of abandonment, and actually was the cause of the grasping at true existence. So analytical meditation was not utilized and was looked at as a downfall. So he thought the true Buddha's true view, he asserted, was to just not think, just to sit and have absolutely a mindless state, or a state of empty mind. And that is what he propounded, asserted, was the true view of emptiness. So if one doesn't truly understand dependent origination, and because of dependent origination there is a lack of true establishment, it's very, very easy to fall into Hashan's view of nothingness. So if one doesn't understand emptiness well and understand the dependent origination and so forth, then if one tries to practice Dzogchen or Mahamudra or these higher teachings, you will only come up with the view of Hashan in your practice. So we can find in Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment this explanation of mistaken and non-mistaken methods. So this is now in English, and we can find the section on single-pointed concentration in that text. So we went over the higher training in ethics previously, and now we've arrived at the higher training in concentration. The higher training in concentration is speaking about meditation itself. And it's stated that our minds at this point are like a black or a dark, crazy elephant. That is just running rampant. And this is symbolic of our afflictions that push our mind to and fro and here and there. And we're, our mind is pushed around in the same way that a black, crazed elephant would be. And translators note the reason it's black is there's a famous painting where one subdues the black elephant and it becomes white. It isn't a reference to anything negative. It's just, it's a painting. So that's translator's note. So by relying upon meditation, we can stabilize our mind so that we can be the ones that are in control of it, and we can set it in any direction single-pointedly that we want, and we won't be pushed around by the afflictions themselves. So this is the reason that single-pointed concentration and meditation are so important.
What that singe dinge jinde de ne shaba na bal chewa yo mar na bal ya yo ar shaba le yo ar is ne dinge jin da je da haba son de shaba na na bak ngo tu mo ar is shaba le ya chu di yo ar dinge jin ge la ba yo ar she lo la ba yo ar na bal le yo ar is na bal da la bi chu di la ba da dinge jin ge la ba da she ro ge la ba she ro bal la bi haba son yo ar is wa de ne ge cheba za ro ma du she ne da du ge shaba na ba tu mo ar is
Okay, so when we speak of calm abiding and we speak of single-pointed concentration or meditation, this is not something that's exclusive to the Buddhist tradition. In non-Buddhist traditions, there is the achievement of calm abiding. There is the achievement of single-pointed concentration. So these, we can say, are in common with other traditions. But these higher trainings are technically called the highest higher training in ethics, the highest higher training in concentration, the highest higher training in wisdom. And by adding that highest higher training, by adding that word, this makes it exclusive to the Buddhist tradition, and it makes these trainings have exclusive ideas that are not found in other traditions. So there are meditations that are in common with non-Buddhist traditions, and the achievement of single-pointed concentration and calm abiding is completely possible, but the goal is different.
Meba garon ji da la yin ge la ja ba shi lang zhe de wu de duo ne meba gan ya rong a meba gan ya rong ben la la me ne gu ba yin na la de me ba de ding ge la la me ne xin ne gu ba yin na la de xin ne me ba de dong ji la me ne xin ne gu ba yin na dong ji de xin ne me ba de xin la me ne xin ne gu ba yin na xin de xin ne me ba de an ka na me de la me ne gu ba yin na ma de xin ne me ba se ge de xin ne gu san ta sa yu de le me ba la me ba ma de
nga donagare
ah
is nga mi ba ale 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 okay so when we speak of calm abiding and single-pointed concentration we speak of objects of observation there needs to be an object of observation of that concentration. So if one is, for instance, meditating exclusively on emptiness, then emptiness is the object of observation for the single-pointed concentration. Or if one is meditating upon a mantra garland or you know any of the other objects of observation, these objects become objects of observation of the calm abiding meditation or of the single-pointed concentration. So it says in the lamp for the path to enlightenment, the Shiloka Kagi, the
Ula. Meba garon ti dala yin gla ja ba jas
de kali kali abudu
kalen ron
de zuba yure let's go ne long dan shiloka te trunk kare
meba garon ti dala yin gla ja ba
meba okay ne dagi just want to check something technically out
meba garon ti dala Lano garun rusan do dang aso.
Nishu. Namang e tonsu. Sanam. Mipa garum, there.
Do it.
The Trangare. Sumju.
Deshe dindi to lo le.
Jipju, Sumju. Got it.
Deshe dindi to lo le. Okay. Jipju marwe.
Jipju. Gye rasar.
Jipju, Jipju.
Jipju.
Wat katu duwa yi nga su ta li momo nroya res.
De ngama, de chiran de tam ambo lapsar. Tam ambo
lapsar.
De chipa. Nga chipa lapsar.
Oh yeah.
Yining tearing a dagu chipa
lapsar.
So I just wanted to check today. I've translated this many times. I just wanted to make sure I'd been translating it right. I was, but just wanted to check today because we had the root text. So we can find in the root text, if you go to number 40, you can find here where Atisha says, thus maintaining well the conditions mentioned. We'll go over that, obviously, later in the collection of meditative stabilization chapter. Place the mind on any one virtuous focal object. So here the emphasis is on virtuous, and it says any one. So here this is speaking of what is the appropriate object of observation for a practitioner to use for single-pointed concentration.
Kashi tomu shechewa tanu yungurus, kashi ngaje shechewa yungurus, ne dosha shechewa ina maduba gongi ina yaburus, kato sundu gurus, marga.
The tamche lap, dure.
Kondu shechewa ina shamba gungurus, marga. Tanu ngaje shechewa ina madaba gungurus. Tomu shechewa ina tende, tende deba maduba tanu, o tanu gungurus, marga.
Okay.
O tanu momuji sungurus.
So, when one engages in meditation, various different beings have various affinities for negativity, various different kinds of affinity towards negativity. Some have a stronger problem with attachment, others have a stronger problem with hatred, some have a stronger problem with delusion or ignorance, some have a problem with pride. So there have been instructions given on practices to do that serve as opponents to these negative states of mind. It's been stated that if one has a large amount of attachment, it's good to meditate upon ugliness of the body or impurity of the body or impurity in general. If one has a greater level of aversion or hatred, it's beneficial to meditate upon love. If one has a greater problem with pride, it's good to meditate upon impermanence. If one has a greater problem with ignorance or delusion, it's good to meditate upon dependent origination and the nature of reality. So for all of the delusions, we see that they have specific antidotes.
So
if one has a bigger problem with conceptuality or with conceptual thought, if the mind is very busy, then one exercise that is helpful is counting the breaths. By relying upon focusing on the coming and the going of the breath. That's literal, the coming and the going of the breath, and counting it. So that is a technique one can use to lessen conceptuality or to calm a busy mind.
So
whatever one wishes to use as an object of observation, one can achieve calm abiding. If one wishes to use a white stone or a stick, one could achieve single-pointed one could achieve calm abiding by using this as its object of the object of observation of the calm abiding.
Oje ta de ne ya du chen nya le je ken ta ma mu de su gu de su gu sen le mi ne an sen gu de sen le mi ne shen de gu a je gu du was sen le mi ne ta nga su ga ju gu ta de je wo du nga su sam chen ma dan du lo shi de gu du nga su
So when we speak of calm abiding and the achievement of calm abiding in the Dzogchen or in Mahamudra, the focal point or the object of observation is the nature of the mind itself, is the mind itself. So one needs to completely block out all other external things and focus solely on the nature of the mind. Now, can't you see how easy it would be to fall into the misconception of the Hashan view in those higher schools because of the abandonment of all other objects and the focus on the nature of the mind? So here we can see how easy it is to fall into this mistaken Hashan view if one isn't educated or one isn't educated enough in order to study these higher schools. So one uses the nature of the mind and sees everything as mind. So I can, as a translator, see another problem. Sees everything as mind and tries to focus on the nature of that mind itself and sees all other things coming as a manifestation from that nature. So it's very easy to fall into the mistaken view. And I see sometimes an older gentleman comes to class and he studies Dzogchen and he has a text. And this text is a text that I'm actually familiar with in Tibetan. And it's a very advanced, difficult text. And in that text you'll find the explanation of the focus on the nature of the mind. And that is one of the key facets of the Dzogchen practice. So within the Nyingma tradition, we find the quote that the what is the Ripa is a different word in the Dzogchen tradition. Anyone study Nyingma a lot? What the Ripa is called? The NGK, Ripa, Dzogchen, the Tsik Kaka Peche Chegadu. What are they? It's like awakening. Nobody, no. I haven't studied much Dzogchen. There's a specific word. Okay, we're going to call it Ripa. It's like a level of knowledge or knowing or nature. It's like the nature of the mind, really, the Ripa, the true nature of the mind. I just don't know what the one word is, but that's what it basically means. There's a statement that says, it is the mistaken ignorance which is abandoned by knowing the true nature of the mind. So here we can see that if one isn't well learned, you could mistakenly think that everything comes to mind and that there is nothing or some sort of nihilistic view of emptying that mind completely.
Mm.
Then ngama tsanlo dangamare, jema tsanlo dangamare,
tsanlo dangamare,
tanda tsanlo dangamare.
Tanda tsanlo dangamare, tsanlo dangamare, tsanlo dangamare, tsanlo dangamare, tsanlo dangamare. Ano ko tong sa sang de cha de do. Ko tele mi ni, tong ba da si.
Tong garpo.
Tong garpo ma.
Na ye ma de be.
Te kan ba no tong ba so de si. Ko ho tele san da de da. Tele mi ni xian gu de yi sa de da.
Then na de shilopa
na ma. Xian da gal san ma ta ba yin na sen le gar cha gu do. Xian da san chen ma ta ba yin na ko tele ti da. Sen le gar cha gu do ti da le.
That's go. The tambo de kejo then it chua. That's go. So also in many texts one can find various explanations and can find the explanation of the arisal of the mind then the yanje sunan
dan de je nga tu nga san da das yin da san chen ma dan ro dus de na sel kar ku an dus
so if then one doesn't think about the past and one doesn't think about the future, and one tries to not focus on the moment, what is left in the mind itself that one thinks of? That's the question. So there also is something Rinpoche said before, you could also, a conch shell can be used as an object of observation. Anything that one wishes to use as an object of observation is sufficient, and you can achieve calm abiding through it. But what Rinpoche's question is if we don't focus on the past and we don't focus on the future, what are we focusing on? Where is that moment? Because the moment, it can be broken into past and future, every moment. So what are we focusing on? That's Rinpoche's question. So when we think of this, this is... Whatever we're coming up with is the focus of the calm abiding. There is an object of observation there. But so that's the question, and Rinpoche is saying that there is an object of observation there in that. So we could call that state where there is no thinking whatsoever. That blank state, we could call that calm abiding. That could be named calm abiding.
That then ya karshu gore. And saje ko nam den le saje ko san da dil me ne gowa ina gowa ni yores. Shujin tu gowa mo sa gore. Shujil ding en du mures.
But by focusing on, for instance, the body of a Buddha or a statue of the Buddha or the form of a Buddha, two things are accomplished. We're able to achieve single-pointed concentration, and also we're accumulating virtue. So we need to imagine that our object of observation is a Buddha, and that object of observation is very, very small. Very, very small in front of us, and is very heavy. Jigutsapo. So the reason for having this object appear to be quite heavy and stable is to abandon the two objects, the two distractions, which are excitement and dullness. So the two distractions that can come into our meditative states.
And
then... So then there are those who like to use Tara, or like to use Medicine Buddha, or Manjushri, or any of the other deities as their objects of observation. You would use all the other deities in the same exact way that you would Buddha Shakyamuni or the Buddha image, same exact way.
What that meba susu kundoba karu gonya doba yoba ina what meba jisu susu doba yoba to gongoris.
So it's whatever you wish to use as your object of observation, but should choose one and utilize that. So one should find out which you have an affinity for and use that. So one should use one object of observation. One should not rely upon many different images, because it's very difficult if there are, if you use more than one image or you have many different images to achieve that single pointed state. So one should not think of many different things. One needs to focus on one. So say, if for instance, we are meditating upon Chen Rezig, we can imagine in the space in front of us more detailed. We can imagine the lotus with the moon disc and the syllable Shi on top of the moon disc with the mantra garland Om Mani Padme Hum circumambulating the syllable Shi in the center. So when we're doing meditation upon Chen Rezig, we could add these details. Subtle consciousness. Okay, so it's the subtle consciousness within the tantric vehicle. One can use, for instance, Guhya Samaja or Hevajra or Chakra Sambhava or Kala Chakra, and the highest vehicle. One can use those deities as the object of observation, and then can use the mantra garland, which can recognize the true nature of the mind. Yoga Tantra deities, the true nature of the mind. So we come here and we have all these objects and paintings and so forth. But when we leave here, we don't necessarily have them. So how do we use them in our practice? We need to first observe the object very carefully. Figure out what the hand implements are. You know, observe the object with our eyes very carefully to see all the details in that object. And then once we've done that, we need to get to the point where we don't forget the details of the image. And then once we've done that and we've gotten to the point where we're familiar with that object of observation very thoroughly, we won't forget the details. And anywhere we go, we can use that object of observation in our meditation, and we don't need anything external to guide us. Whatever one wishes to meditate upon, whatever that one object is that you choose, it's whatever the one object that is chosen to meditate upon, one must first completely observe the details of it with your eyes, look at it and observe the details of it, and then not forget what those details are. So when, for instance, we've looked at a tanka of a Buddha, and we've observed it very carefully and studied it, and we get to the point where we don't forget the details, then we should use the meditation at the space in front of us. We should have a very clear image in front of us, you know, mental image. The image should be very clear. That's our aim, is to get it clearer and clearer. So the image that we choose as our focal point should be very clear. So you could, one could also focus on the breath, the coming and the going of the breath, and that would not be forgotten. One could just single-pointedly focus on the breath. So whatever one meditates on, it's beneficial for our minds. Oh, the nature of the mind is, the nature of our mind is very busy. So our minds are very busy, and we seem to remember all these things again and again. We seem to remember things, and our minds become busy. And when we meditate upon focusing on the breath, we can lessen that a little bit. It's definitely the antidote for conceptuality or conceptual thought. So if this is beneficial, if this alone is beneficial for you, you should do this.
Lesson.
Jetsun Shamba, Bechagare.
Okay.
Mahayana Sutra Alankara.
Mahayana Sutra Alankara. Alankara is Jain.
Alankara.
Jain.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mahayana, the Do.
Mm.
The so, Sutra Do.
One Do the Jain goes Sazan was. And then Saddle Din, the Dingan Zubayina, Zubul Nasa Majibayina, Sazan was. And then Nazu Kama Dina Sazan was, Nazubul Nasa Chigomaris, Kama Gun Digos.
So we can find in Lord Maitreya's text, the Mahayana Sutra Alamkara, or the ornament to Mahayana Sutras, we can find that Maitreya states that it's important to have a positive place or a positive dwelling. And this meaning of this is like a disease-free area, somewhere where we don't have environmental difficulties. But where we are now, in our house, that's a disease-free environment, so we can do meditation in our house, and it seems to fit into the appropriate place for meditation according to Maitreya. It needs to have good water, because if the water is good, then it'd be beneficial for the body.
Wild animal.
It needs to be a place where there are not harmful inhabitants. And harmful inhabitants refer to wild animals or spirits and so forth. Any inhabitants that are harmful to someone. If that place has them, it's not an appropriate place for meditation, according to Maitreya. And good friends, positive friends. So here, this refers to good friends, refers to Dharma acquaintances, or spiritual friends, spiritual acquaintances, because you can, you know, you could talk with one another about spiritual things and ask questions, and you know, one person might know the answer the other person can to the question the other person has. So if one is going to do a long meditation, it's necessary to have someone helping you. So it's necessary for the practitioner to have a foundation in ethical behavior. So if we have all of these things together, then we can easily have the arisal of single-pointed concentration. And one thing that this is what I forgot, and it was just a question that I had. Rinpoche didn't, but I'll translate it anyway. It's necessary to have ethics in order to produce concentration, because without ethics, concentration can't be produced. When we speak of ethics, it's not necessary for one to be ordained. It's not speaking of only a monk or a nun. It's ethics in general, ethical behavior in general. In the non-Buddhist traditions are able to achieve calm abiding, and many of them don't have monks and nuns and ordained people, so we can see that it's possible to achieve without ordination. So slowly, as we stabilize our minds, we will achieve calm abiding. So as one's mind becomes more stable, and the single-pointed concentration level is strengthened, once one achieves calm abiding, then the coarse afflictions are all eradicated. The more subtle afflictions are not, but the coarse afflictions are eradicated when one achieves the state of calm abiding. And we can see that in even the non-Buddhist traditions, the ability to achieve calm abiding. And then once one achieves that, there are various levels, and one can achieve even the state of clairvoyance and the ability to understand the workings of others' minds. So all of these can be achieved through single-pointed concentration and the achievement of calm abiding, which can be achieved by Buddhists as well as non-Buddhists.
Jampemba,
the Jewang Ama Chi Ni Da Tugudu, Gangsen and
Consul, what the Jewang Ama Chi Ni Shewars, Shema Chi Ni Shewars, Jewa Shema Yu. The Penji Shewa Maris, Jewa Shema Yu Marilovers.
Then Penji
Jewa Shema Chi Shena, Uncle Jewa Shema Yu Aris, Chi Shewa.
So the Jampembas are a sect that are actually a Hindu sect. The Jampembas, which are a Hindu tradition in ancient India, they, is that Samkhya? I believe it's Samkhya. I have to look it up, but they are able to see past and future lives, but they're only able to see one or two in either direction, past or future. So we can see that they have clairvoyance, and here's an example of non-Buddhists who have achieved the state of single point of concentration, because clairvoyance can't be achieved without it. So they have achieved that state, but they assert that there aren't any other lives than the ones that they can see. So they don't believe that there's anything before the ones they can see or anything after the ones they can see. They only assert that there is the one, the past and the future, that they are able to cognize through their clairvoyance. But it isn't, their clairvoyance isn't fully realized. And that's why they can't see everything the way as a full being, a fully enlightened being can.
Jangshi jido, jangshi ta, jangshi kashi tari mutung tukuduwa. Kashi tani mutung, otten rabu yinsaris. Nguyashin shechile mabu yuwaris. Kashi mabu shekaris. Kashi ngin shekwari. Teme nguyashi tere mua shekwaris. Shiribale. Ane, sanji nguyashi te teme nguyashi le mua shekaris. Otten kuzum mara mara yisaris.
So there are all kinds of levels of clairvoyance. There is the level of clairvoyance that this a Jampemba might have, where he or she can see one or two past and future lives. Then there's the kind of clairvoyance that a Hinayanist or a lesser vehicle practitioner has. Their clairvoyance would exceed that of the non-Buddhist tradition, their clairvoyance. But then we have the Mahayanist, the fully realized Mahayanist or Buddhas, who have a level of clairvoyance that far exceeds the level of clairvoyance of even a fully realized lesser vehicle practitioner. So we can see that clairvoyance has various levels and one's ability to see more subtle things depends upon the level of the clairvoyance. There are some who have a great level, some have a medium level, and some have a small level.
Biku kabo.
Biku gare.
Biku sinde.
Horn.
The horn, wire horn. No, no. Kabo re shaste. Mueshi yekin du sute di te kewa chune.
The tamche shing yu inu. The ming gare.
Biku se.
Biku donna gare.
Inche garza.
Shing me.
Inche.
Oh, is he speaking? The inji ke erbe.
Inche. Mare mare. Gagi ro. Toba lor. Toba. Biku lagro. Yutang.
De Ming, forehead.
Forehead. Okay. Forehead.
Okay.
Mashi, you can take it. Baby, the people cover his house.
Okay. All right. So there's a story of previous times when there was only one word in the whole story I couldn't get, and it was making the whole story. So there is previous times of two people. One had clairvoyance and one did not. And the one who did not ask the gentleman or the lady who had clairvoyance, if you have clairvoyance, tell me about the baby in the cow's stomach. There was a cow there who had a baby in her stomach. And he said he was able to tell that there was a white dot on the forehead of the cow that was in the stomach of the woman.
That baby, the ngama dus jine. Nama kabu insar, nama kabu ni jangan ni dia insar. Enak kau jepa cangkut dekai, piku kabu ayi meri das. Nama kabu ingkar das. Amat nama kabu resas, pipi dengan nama kabu ingkar se tewa wai. Cuma di tewa kabu resas, di kabu resas.
So then, okay, I get it. It's not that funny though. So then. When the baby came out, it actually had a white tail and not a white spot on the head. So he actually mistakenly saw the ass of the cow and not the face. So the person who was very intelligent made fun of him by saying that he had his ends confused. So someone who has clairvoyance can see certain things. But these days, scientists have machines to be able to see these things. So this is an explanation of clairvoyance, a little explanation. But if one uses it, the clairvoyance in order to fulfill the needs of other sentient beings, then this is the most beneficial use of clairvoyance.
다 지들 응어시여 말들 콜들 리바 땅다 여딘지로 땅다 땅다 그거 그 바주 아마드 나마드 가베 인사 비비드 나마 가베 인그레서 아 나마 가베 인그다서 그들 이거 다
So then the smart person was able to say you don't have to rely upon those realizations. You can use inference, and you can rely upon a correct sign. Look at the mother cow. She has a white tail. You can infer that the baby has a white tail because she's going to have a white, because she had a white, the baby will have a white tail because she had a white tail. So for people like us, who don't have clairvoyance, we have to rely upon analysis. We have to rely upon our intelligence. So is there a previous life? What's the reason? Is there a future life? What's the reason? The Jewa Shema, Jewa Ngama, Chiran Sum Lapsum. Okay, so whatever those of us who do not have clairvoyance can rely upon a correct sign. So what is the reason there is a past life? What is the reason for future life? What is the reason for impermanence? I remembered. So what is the nature of these things? So we have to rely upon analysis to be able to arrive logically at an inferential valid cognition.
Naji taji jekin ga mabu che tu gu duwas. Dunta ji nol hyo kin yung gu res. Ye gu yung gu res. Wadi dunta ji ni she tu gu duwas. Wadi jusen le ten she tu gu res. Di mishin nong ta du yung gu res.
We can see that the weather man, meteorologist and so forth, they rely upon correct signs to be able to predict the weather. They rely upon reasons that various tools have given them, signs that have been shown to them, in order for them to say that next week or tomorrow or whenever there will be a hurricane, there's rain coming, there could possibly even predict an earthquake. They can predict all of these various things, and the way that they can do this is by relying upon a sign, just as we do, by using reason and analysis. By depending upon a large number of reasons, this is the method that we can employ to understand these things. All phenomena are not truly established because they dependently originate. So here we see a statement with a sign. All compounded phenomena are impermanent because they are a compound. So we need to think of many reasons for things and come up with reasons to state our thesis or to reasons for our assertions. So when we look at this clairvoyant person and the person who used their intelligence and used analysis, we can see that the person who came to the could come to a conclusion through analysis by saying, "Oh, the mother had a white tail, so the baby will probably have a white tail," actually is more accurate than the person who had mistaken clairvoyance. So we can see that analysis and our intelligence sometimes is more important than clairvoyance. So it's not that the clairvoyance itself was mistaken, it's the person who saw the wrong end, saw the white on the forehead when it was really the tail that was mistaken. It wasn't the clairvoyance itself. So we will slowly go through these pages of the text, and it looks like today we're probably finished, and we'll do the concluding prayers, and we'll continue next week. If anyone comes to all these classes and doesn't understand Buddhism completely, by the time this text is done, This is one of the most intensive, you know, all-inclusive teachings I have ever heard. Spending a year on a 20, how many stanzas is this? 68 stanzas. So we'll do all the concluding prayers in Tibetan. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru. Sorry about that. I just said we're going to do it in Tibetan and then start it in English. I apologize, everyone. We'll do it in Tibetan. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalakam Niradayami Yambe Bhavu Jita Jindadha Gondu Sampo Deyan Dejinde Deda Kunji Jesu Dalo Jien Gewa Deda Tanche Ratu Ngo Duzum Shepe Jawa Tanche Ji Nga wa gan la chutu nga pa de Da jen ge we tsa wa de kun jan San po chu chi ra tu ngo wa ni Ngam ri ra we ngur we shin yam de De Yeah,